Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You that we're all gathered together to hear Your Word and to worship You. Lord, we pray for the worship team that You would bless their hands and their mouths, that the Spirit would hit them and the worship would just come across, and that this room would be filled with a cloud, that You are filled this place with a cloud like You did in the Bible, Lord. We pray that Pastor will be anointed with the truth, and that the truth will make us free. We pray that when we leave this place, we will be different than when we first came in, and that we would be emboldened to teach Your Word, talk about Your Word to all the people that we visit, to our workplace, even in the stores that we go into, that we would walk in Your Word and speak up when You tell us to speak up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
A lot of the songs this morning have been about not only the blessings that you already know are upon your life, but the ability that you have to stand firmly on God regardless of what's going on in your life. We've been talking a lot about the impossible being possible. And a lot of that is learning that regardless of what we see physically, that there's a promise that's stronger than anything else. That what He tells us and what He's given us is already taking place in our life, but sometimes we just gotta wait. And this song is just, it's like a, it can be like a war cry, right? Because even in your moments when you feel your lowest, you have the ability to worship God through it all. Because that is exactly what faith is understanding that just because you're not seeing what you want to see, because things are not working the way you're wanting them to work, that you know that God is working in your favor because of the promises that He's given you and that He's showing you in your life. The kingdom on earth becomes a thing when the church learns to walk in His kingdom, regardless of what you see happening around you. It's the ability to have that transformation take place in your life in a way that allows you to know, all right, God, it doesn't matter what comes at me, what's still coming towards me, I know what You've said and I will walk in it regardless. It's where your light begins to shine. Because now it's not you who's functioning, but it's the Spirit who's functioning for you. That Terry actually touched on this last week. The Bible actually tells us that we're made up of the spirit, the soul, and the body. But the spirit is meant to lead you in all things. It is. It's meant to lead you in every moment and every situation. But we let our soul get in the way when it begins to tell you, oh, I don't know. It's not looking too good for you. I'm not sure that God's actually moving on your side. And it's up to us to capture those thoughts and say, nope, because God promised it. Whew. Church, we don't need to be praying for revival. We just need to be praying for what God has for us in our life. And revival will happen because of the kingdom showing its face through you. through what you're doing, through your movements, through your actions, through every single moment that you learn to take control of your emotions, through every single moment that you learn to show who God is instead of showing who we are. That's when we start to see revival, because now the kingdom is functioning and it's moving according to the way that He created it to. To be thankful for. Gratitude is an attitude. It really is. It's learning to just say, I am going to see everything the way that you said, which is that all things work together for good. So even when it doesn't seem good, I know that it's good.
I love this song, Gratitude. Do we have gratitude? You know, it takes me back to the Garden of Eden. The tree of life is a representation of Jesus. And He blocked off, He had that, when Adam and Eve got tossed out of the garden, He blocked off the way back to the garden with a flaming sword. He blocked the way with a flaming sword. But when Jesus came, He came and He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He brought us the way back to the garden to overcome it with truth, which is the flaming sword that the cherubim had, to get back to the tree of life, Jesus. They blocked that garden so that we wouldn't eat of the fruit thereof. But now that Jesus has saved us through His grace, we've been saved. We are able to eat the fruit of the Spirit. That's what the fruit of the tree is. And when we eat the fruit of the Spirit, it's just like it said, for they will have eternal life. They cannot die because we're eating of the fruit of the tree of life. This gratitude song brings us back, because He wants our praises, to lift up our hands and praise Him, because He brought us back so that we could have eternal life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Terry. To go kind of off of what Terry said, the scripture... I wanted to read to y'all today, because I just felt the Lord put it on my heart. Let's see here, 1 second. It's Psalms 98:19. And let's see. There we go. Okay. It says this, blessed is the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of salvation, Selah. How many here are grateful for the benefits that the Lord God gives us every day?
Yeah.
Amen. He gives us the gift of joy, the gift of peace, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who ministers to our hearts and everyone who surrounds us. And I just want to give the Lord glory for giving us so many benefits as Christians, and that just give us life and life abundantly. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Come on. Well, it ain't much. What's fit for this king? But the Lord says to you, oh, it's all I need. It's all I'm looking for, that you just worship me in spirit and in truth. That's all He's looking for. Can you say amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know God is good? Amen. Hey, give somebody a high five. Give them a hug, whatever, and tell them, thank you for coming to church today. God bless you. Go home. Nah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, praise God, man. Hey, bro. God bless you guys. Hey, look at the new baby. Yeah, we new baby in the house, Maria and Sasha. Oh, yeah, come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How's everybody this morning? Amen. Yeah. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm excited. I told the Lord, hey, he said, Lord, it's been 2 weeks. I haven't been in the pulpit for 2 weeks. I think I forgot how to do it. He said, leave it to me. I said, yeah, that's what I got to do every Sunday. Is that right? You got to leave it to him. He knows how to do this thing. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Glory to God. Come on, somebody. Give him a praise, man. Thank you, Lord. I just enjoyed the music this morning, whatever. I messed up quite a bit on the guitar because I get a little excited and I get ahead and I got to stop. It's okay, praise God, man, I'm out. All the rest of the musicians are looking at me like, what's wrong with you today? Hallelujah. I'm just excited. How many are excited to be in the kingdom of God? Can I tell you, this is the best time to be in the kingdom. Can I tell you that? God is doing something. God is preparing to bring his kingdom onto the earth. Is that okay with you? Are you okay that God takes over? Where God says, okay, that's enough. I've had it. That's it. It's time to move in. Is that right? Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Glory to God. Are you ready for God, for every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father? Are you ready for that? Ooh, come on. I'm waiting to see that. I can't wait to see it. Can you say amen? Ooh, hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's people out there just don't get, they just don't know what's coming. Is that right? Oh, they're going to see it. They're going to say, oh, what is this? What is this? Right. And a brother and a sister who says, this is the kingdom. This is how it operates. This is what it does. This is what God has purposed and planned for this planet ever since he created, even before he created. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, we're in for some big things, folks. Hallelujah. Some of you know that I've been talking and I've been teaching on some stuff that's kind of out there. How many say out there? Out there, yeah. I got my neighbor. I was talking to him the other day and he goes, my wife, she got this guy to clean the yard, man. And he calls him Pluto. Yeah, he calls him Pluto. And I said, bro, hey, how come you call him Pluto? He says, because he's out there. He's way out there. And he's one of those guys, he says, man. He goes, I don't know if I trust him or not, but my wife trusts him, so I'm not going to worry about it. I said, well, that's cool. Folks, we're getting ready to experience things that we've never experienced before. Can you say amen? God is opening his mysteries to the body of Christ. Do you know that? There are mysteries. The Bible talks about all these mysteries that have been hidden for the ages. And in Acts chapter 1, the Bible talks about where Jesus is getting ready to go on home to be with the Father. And the Jews and his disciples and some of the Jews around him ask him, are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And Jesus tells him, he says, he's going, man, did you guys not get what I'm talking about? This is not about one nation ruling the earth. This is about the kingdom of God coming in and overtaking the earth. How many say amen? How many are glad you're in the kingdom? And so he says, it's not given to you to know the times and the seasons. Is that okay? There are times and seasons in the things of God. In God, God is bringing things, and there's seasons for certain things. A while back, we were a season for, I don't know what you want to call them. God opens things up, and boom, things begin to happen. Another thing, God opens another thing, boom, things begin to happen. There are seasons that God brings into the earth with his body, through his body. But Jesus said it this way. He goes, it's not given for you to know the times of the season which are in my Father's power. Is that right? He said, it's in his power. And then the very next verse says, but you shall receive power. How many say, everybody look at your neighbor and say, power. How many like power? I mean, how many need power to get up in the morning? Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, come on. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's that same power that Jesus was talking about where he said, it's not given to you to know the times and seasons, but who the Father has placed in his own power. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is preparing the body. His job today is to prepare the body of Christ for what God is doing. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. Don't look for revival. Focus on his arrival because he's already here. He's within you. You don't need to go. You don't need to see a revival busting out. He's just trying to show. He goes, why don't you bust out? Is that right? Why don't you give me a dance out there, man? Say, hey, man, that's the Lord, man. You know, praise God. The Lord is in the house. And then, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, you know what? God says, hey, bust out. You want a revival? Get revival. Walk in it. It's already within you. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, there's a lot of people looking for a revival. I said, bro, you're looking for the wrong thing. The scriptures never tell you look for a revival. Show me that scripture and verse. Where does it say look for a revival? It doesn't. It says seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be added to you. How many say amen? This kingdom is coming. You're part of it. Aren't you glad? Woo, come on. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Aren't you glad? Amen. Man, I'll tell you what. Man, praise God. I don't know if I'm going to get to this message or not. How many say amen? You know, this is impossible part three. How many know that what is impossible with men is possible with God? Absolutely possible with God. Can you say? There's a few things that are impossible for God. How many say amen? One of them, he cannot lie. He will not lie to you. He will not go against his word that he's already given. Do you know that? There's a few things that are impossible for God. He won't go against his word. He won't lie to you. Aren't you glad? Yes. The minute he lies to you, the minute something changes, the Godhead that we know has changed. So what is there to stand on? There's nothing to stand on. But you see, he's an unchangeable God. Do you know that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know that? It's not so much a fact, it is truth. Amen. It is true that God is not, he cannot change. He's always the same. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Oh, okay. And he says this, this is a little stronger than what it was, but it's, how it might come out is gonna come up. God is no longer tolerant with things that are contrary to him that's going on in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. He's not being tolerant anymore. He's been very gracious to you. Is that all right? He's been very gracious. But he says that time of tolerance is just about over. You're going to need to walk in the Spirit. Is that all right? Is that okay? Know that God is calling you to walk in his Spirit, to know what he has for you. We tried to put the letters, but they didn't stick. Is that right, Johnny? Pastor John? We believe in this church that everyone should be independently dependent upon God. Do you believe that? You got to know for yourself what God has for you. You've got to seek him on your own. You've got to be independent, independently dependent on who he is in your life. You need to go to your closet and find out, is Pastor Henry kidding? Is he telling me the truth? Or he's just lying to me. Look, I will tell you, you can probably, I'm not here to make money. Can you say amen to that? So I'm not going to give you these 10 steps to become whatever, but first you got to give $100. I'm not that kind of a pastor. I'm not that kind of a preacher. You know what? I just do what God tells me to do. Is that okay? Amen. If he tells me to sit down and be quiet, I'll sit down and be quiet. But if he tells me, Henry, I want you to pastor a church, now that scared me. Are you kidding me? Glory to God. But here I am. Praise God. Amen. Do I know what I'm doing? Woo! The only thing I know what I'm doing is I'm following him. Is that right? We're being led by his instructions. Is that right, Pastor John? Pastor Stella? God wants us to be following him, to be independently dependent upon God, listening to one another and speaking to one another the things of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Mm. Yeah, praise God. So what I'm going to do, I better get going because this might be long. And then it might not be long. So we'll see how that goes. Hey, Impossible, this is part three. The power verse today is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. But it's the first part only. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Folks, it's not what I say, it's what Jesus says. Can you say amen? It's what the Word of God says to you. I mean, we put a high emphasis on what God says. We teach out of the Word of God. We don't teach out of whatever, okay? I'll just leave it at that. Let the Word of Christ, let His words dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Can you say amen? Yeah, that's what I'm praying for you. See, Pastor John and I and some of the pastors, Abe and Rebecca, our intent is to build you and not hurt you. It really is. Sometimes it might not feel that way. Can you say amen? Yeah. Is that right? Sometimes it seems like Pastor John's being real mean to you. Isn't that right? How many know that Pastor John will never be mean to you? Is that right? Yeah. I might tackle you. Yeah. That'd be for fun. Isn't that right, Brian? Yeah, come on, man. We are here to build you and strengthen you. You don't have to listen to us. But I do say that you take the word of God that you're hearing and go home and take a look at it. Because I will tell you, this kingdom that we are expecting, because God, we have been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done for a long time. How many say amen to that? How many know that sometimes God seems like it takes a long time for him to do stuff? Is that right? Anybody? Does anybody get that? I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, God, do this. When are you going to do this? You know, I mean, but sometimes it takes God a long time to do stuff. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done are words that Jesus said, pray this. I want you to pray this. So this kingdom, I believe, I sense it with everything within me. Randy brought out a teaching on the Wednesday night about the kingdom. And about that time, God was really pushing on me about the kingdom. So when he said, Randy goes, I'm going to do it about the kingdom. I said, yeah, let's do that. Because this kingdom that God has, the word of God has prophesied, Jesus told us about it. It's in the earth now in all the believers. It's around this world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's all over. I will tell you that the little bit of leaven that God started with the 12 apostles and maybe the 500 people that were on the mountain and watched them take off, well, the 500, that little bit of leaven has leavened the whole world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We are on a planet where the kingdom of God has just about reached out to everybody. And this kingdom is getting ready to be exposed. God's getting ready by his people. Look, man. The glory of God, it says, arise, shine. For the Lord has shined upon you. Is that right? And the glory will be seen upon you. Is that right? And it says this in there. I mean, I'm kind of trying to go through my head, man, about this. But it does say, if you get a chance, look at Isaiah 60. It does say this. And the Gentiles shall come to your light. Is that right? What's it talking? It's talking about the kingdom. This kingdom that God is releasing into the earth. It's going to, oh man, I can't wait. And I feel it now. How many say amen to that? How many of you feel it now? Well, this kingdom has a mindset. Do you know that? It's the mindset of Christ. And he says, I've given it to all of you. Is that right? He said, you've been given the mind of Christ. So everything that we're seeing, everything that we're hearing, what you're going to be hearing in this church are kingdom principles, kingdom thoughts, how the kingdom operates. Because let's say you're a business owner. If you're not doing things the way the kingdom operates, guess what? You need to change. You need to do what God says to do. If he tells you to give, you say, well, I got no money. I can't give. Somebody brought in a whole box of donuts today, isn't it? That's kingdom living, folks. Bring in a box of donuts. Is that right? Do things. Is that right? Give and it shall be given unto you. Those are kingdom principles that God has told us. If they give, man, if they need your coat, give them your shirt, whatever they need, just give it to them. Is that right? Kingdom principles. And these are the things that are going to expose the kingdom in the earth. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, but today you're going to hear some crazy stuff. Everybody's already said, yeah, we already heard it twice. You're going to hear it again. Because I will tell you something. I got to say this. We will talk to one another. And I've heard people say this. Yeah, well, you know, there's no pain in heaven. How many believe there's pain in heaven? There's no sickness in heaven. How many believe that? How many can't agree with that? How many agree there's no, probably no divorce in heaven, right? Because so we're all like the angels. Is that right? What the word of God said? Probably no divorce. How many know there's no arguments going on in heaven? Can you imagine a bunch of folks up in heaven having a big argument?
No.
I don't think so. Right next to the throne? I don't think there's any arguments going. How many believe that in heaven things are a little different than what they are here? Would you say amen to that? Well, let me just say this to you. Also, in heaven, there is no D-E-A-T-H, no death. Is that okay? There's no death in heaven. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, see, folks, here's the mindset. This sounds weird. I know it does. I know it sounds weird. But here's the mindset. Jesus came, died on a cross, and he defeated, and he caused death to be of no value. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Death is already done. It's a done deal. The mindset is when the kingdom gets on the earth, do the people of God have the mindset of that death does not have any value on us? And I'm not just talking about spiritual death. I'm talking about physical death, how your body reacts to the word of God. Isn't that crazy? Sounds crazy, huh? Well, brother, it's impossible. How many of you want to live 400 years old? Not a one of you. Is that right? There's my... You see... Thank you, brother. I'm going to say hello, Steve. Come here. Let me just say this to you. This man, he raised his hand. How many you want to live for? How about 500?
Yeah, as long as God wants me.
Come on, there we go. This is the thing. See, we live by our own will. We got to stop that. Do you know that? It's not your will. It's him. I had a lady tell me that. I said, well, I don't think I want to stay that long. See, now you're imposing your will on God. What if God says, I want to make you like Enoch? How if God makes you, I want to make you like Methuselah? No, you can stay right there. I want you to stay right there. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. You're good. What if God wants to keep you here? What if God wants you to minister to seven generations past your grandchildren? What if God wants that? Because I will tell you, folks, what people need on the earth are the wisdom of God. Coming out of the vessels of God. Can you say amen to that? Why would you want to take off on him? God would say, no, man, get out of here. Get out of here. Right? I didn't call you. Amen. Don't lay down to death. Can I say that to you? And that, this is weird. Isn't that right? You don't hear this in a lot of church. You're not going to hear it. But I believe the Holy Spirit is pushing on churches. Because I've heard of other few folks, brothers, preaching the same thing. Because the Spirit at the right time brings it, opens it up. Can you say amen? What I'm going to do this morning is just give you a few more items to look at when you go home. Because your body will tell you, he's lying to you. But I want the Word of God to talk to you and tell you, no, man, this is what God's Word is. How many of you know that the God's Word comes into... Do you know that the earth is the only place you can place a seed? Is that right? It's only in the earth. It won't grow anywhere else. You can play. How many have seen weeds growing on a sidewalk? Did that sidewalk nurture that seed? It probably was in a crack in the sidewalk. Can you say amen? There had to be an element of earth around that seed. Do you know that? That's the only way God designed it. It has to be placed within the earth. How many know that we're earth? Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. You remember that scripture? Remember, man, that thou art dust, and dust, and unto dust. Do you know that that is the curse? If you look at it, it came after Adam and Eve sinned. So when God spoke that, remember, man, that you're dust and under dust. But see, we are earth. So a seed has to be planted within you in order for it to grow. So this today, God has called me, and I know he's called Terry too because I prophesied to him. God has called us, Pastor John, Pastor Sella, Pastor Rosie, Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Abe. He's called us to place seeds. Seeds. A lot of people, I don't know it. I don't believe that. So the enemy comes and pulls that seed out. Is that right? Everything in the kingdom has to start from a seed. Do you know that? Is that okay? That's what got you into the house of God. A seed was planted in your heart and you said yes to the Lord. Is that okay? So what I'm giving you today is seed. They sound different. They're of a different type. Is that okay? Nevertheless, they're seed. Watered, they will grow. Hallelujah. So that's kind of my long, what do you call that? What's that word? It's kind of that word where you said that my, oh God. Hey, it's not up to me, it's up to you. Is that okay? All right, so here we go. If you will, turn to John chapter 8, I believe it is. I want you to hear what Jesus says to the Pharisees. They just got through accusing him of being a demon, okay? So I'm going to ask you, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for what you're doing in the earth today, Father. God, we ask, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, Lord. Cause us to hear things that we have heard before and things that we have heard before. Cause us to hear those things. And Lord, we open our hearts even now to you, the Holy Spirit, that you would, Holy Spirit, speak to us as Pastor Henry speaks. We thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Do you agree? Amen. Say amen. Praise God. So John chapter 8, verse 51 through 53. Verily, verily, truly, truly is what Jesus said. I'm putting truth on top of truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. How do you like that? This is not Henry saying it. This is Jesus saying it to you. Can you say amen? Can you be comfortable with that? Now, truly, truly, I say to you, if man keep me, he will never see death. And then said the Jews to him, now we know that you have a devil. Hey, is that right? Folks, I've had people tell me that too. Yeah, you better watch what you're talking, man, because that might not be God. Yeah, but now we know that you have a devil. He says, Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep your saying, he shall never taste of death. See, the Jews knew very well what Jesus was talking about. He was talking about physical death. They knew it very well. That's why they said, hey, Abraham died. Who do you think you are, Esa? Right? Who do you think you are, Esa? Jesus died. But he died for us. Is that right? So are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets, which are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus could have answered that very well. Oh, yeah. He said, are you greater than our father Abraham? Oh, yeah. And the prophets? Oh, yeah. He says it again to Mary, and this is John chapter 8, verses 51 through 53. He says this. I'm sorry. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If Jesus would have stopped right there, it would have been fine. Because I was in a place with God when God began to roll this thing out to me. Can I say that? Yeah. He rolled it out to me. I said, man, I can't speak this stuff. God, I don't know anything about it. When he began to speak to me about this, I said, well, I don't know. I don't know, God. Let me look. You know, so when he says to her, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's where I was at. That's where I was positioned. I believed in him. Even if I died, I'm going to live. How many say amen to that? I was positioned in that place. But then, by his spirit, he throws a wrench at me. And he says that whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. What? Do you? Well, believest thou this? He asked her that. And I'm going to answer for myself. You don't have to answer, man. I believe it. God, by His Spirit, has convinced my heart that this is what I need to be saying to the body of Christ. Is that okay? How could I say it if I didn't believe it? Can you say amen? I believe it with all my heart. I know it's difficult. I know you tell somebody, hey, I'm going to live till I'm 140. You watch their reaction. They're going to look at you and say, you already look like you're there, bro. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're not going to like it. It's so contrary to the thinking. Can I say that? But you got to remember, we have been given the mind of Christ. Is that okay? So the contrary part of the thinking, it has no place in us. Is that okay? Woo, come on. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, right? And the life. Not only is He the life, can you say amen? Last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus being the life. And the life has nothing to do with death. Can I tell you that? Amen. You can't put them together. You can't stick them together. Life and death are opposites. They do not attract. Can you say amen? Yeah. Life and death. But He tells it, I am the resurrection. How many know that Jesus is the resurrection? How many know that? And I would tell you, Pastor John, this thing's coming apart here. But anyway, I will tell you the resurrection has so much more implication than what we really believe, what we really know. Because resurrection, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Is that right? How many know that Jesus is alive in your heart? How many know that? How many know that he's living within you? Is that right? Praise God. And so I'm glad that you know that. Check this out. This is Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Now, Paul the Apostle, he's given an account of something that happened when Peter was visiting with him. And he said that when Peter was come, he went ahead and did everything like the Gentiles did. Let's just say he ate bacon, okay? Okay. So Paul is eating bacon. He's eating, having sausage, having some pork rinds, right? Just going to town. But then when James and a group of Jewish men came from Jerusalem, the Bible says, Paul says that, just to put it, he threw his pork rind down, threw his bacon down, and walked over and got over with those other guys that had come from Jerusalem. And Paul looked at that and he goes, dude, that ain't right. That's not right. And he tells them some things about, he goes, how can you live like a Gentile? And then when the Jewish people come, you begin to live like the circumspect people, like the Jews. He says, man, you're messing the whole point. You're not getting it. Peter, look at what you're doing, you know? And so he jumps on him. And what he's telling him right here, this is part of what he tells him. Okay, is that all right? I hope I didn't lose you in this. This is part of what he's telling him. I'm sorry, did I not give you the scripture? This is Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. So Paul says, for through the law, I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. How many say amen to that? How many of you know that you've been crucified with Christ? Do you know that? The Bible says that it's given unto man once to die. How many times is once? Once, not hard. I'm no mathematician, but I think once is once. Is that right? It's given unto man once to die. Is that okay? Is that what the Word of God says? It's a trick question. How many times is once? Once, is that right? It's given unto man once to die. Yep. When you gave your heart to Jesus, can I tell you something? You died. You died at that moment. And a word from the Lord resurrected you, gave you life. Can you say amen to that? It is the word of, no man comes to the Father but by me, is what Jesus said, right? Is that right? You can't make it there unless the word of God. See, Jesus, oh yeah. It's almost like I got to break everything down, but I don't want to break it down. So how many know that Jesus is the Word? Right? He's the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, right? So then he says, no man comes to the Father but by me. By what? By the Word. Can you say it? Is that okay to say that? So it took the Word to get you into the kingdom. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You got into this thing, into what God had planned for you by his Word. Is that okay? So the day that you said yes to Jesus, that's when you died. And a Word woke up in you. That Word brought you back to life. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't know much. How many say amen? How many know you didn't know all the, everything about the Bible? I remember getting drunk. Does anybody remember getting drunk? No? Anyway, I remember getting drunk, and I was talking about the Bible all the time. I thought I knew everything about the Bible. I was one of them religious drunks. But when I got saved, I realized I didn't know nothing about nothing. How many say amen to that? I like Terry's thing. Nothing, but some of you haven't seen it, but it's Sergeant Schultz saying, I know nothing. Is that right? I know nothing. Hey, it took the Word to get you there. You died when you got there. Can you say amen to that? Okay, now I'm going to add that other scripture. It says, it's given unto man just once to die. Are you okay with that? You died. And this is what Paul is saying right here. I am crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
See, you die, but now you're alive. Is that all right?
Yeah.
And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you know it's not your faith that you're living by? How many say amen to that? Can you say amen? I'm going to teach you a little bit on this. Listen. When you died, God gave you faith. Yeah, the word of God says that every man is given a measure of faith. What's that for? To get you to Christ. When you get to Christ and you give your heart to Christ, you died, and now he gives you his faith. Is that okay? There's something more powerful within you than you even realize. It's his faith, not your faith, his faith. Isn't that cool? Everything he gives you comes from him. The joy of the Lord, the peace of God, all those things come from him, not from you. Is that cool? Even the faith that's in you, it's him. So it says it right here. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Here we go, 6 through 13. Here we go. Check this out. Knowing this, all right, that our old man is crucified with him. You died. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to reiterate. It's, you died. You died. Look at your neighbor and say, tell him, I died. Look at the one on the other side. You smell like you died. I'm just kidding. You died. You're dead. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, everybody say henceforth.
Henceforth.
What does that mean? That's a King James word for from now on. How's that? For from now on, we would not serve sin. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Is that possible? You better believe it's possible because he's telling you it is. You don't serve sin, you serve God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Praise God. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Is that right? How many of you ever seen a dead man get up out of his coffin, go drink some beer and everything else, and go, I mean, you just don't see it. He that is dead is freed from sin. And look, we're dead. We died in Christ, but now we're alive. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's not really that hard. Can you say? Okay, here we go. So it said, now if we be, didn't quite finish. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live. Is that right? With him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. Is that right? Death has nothing on Jesus. Is that right? And guess where he lives? Isn't it right that he lives in you? All right. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin. How many times?
Once
again. Is that once again? Is that right? How many times do we die? It's given unto man once to die. Jesus died once. Can you say amen to that? If you think you're still a sinner, you're in the kingdom of God. Jesus is not going to die for you again. He already died. He already washed your sins away. You just need to understand it. Can you say amen? Amen. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. And then it says this, likewise. What does likewise mean? In the same way. In the same way. Reckon, I like that word. My Mr. White, an old guy from Texas, lived next door to me. He used to say, well, I reckon. That was his favorite word, I reckon. Hey, you going to work? I reckon. Yeah, coming home? Yeah, I reckon. That was all reckon with him. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Can you say amen? That's nice. It's a good place to be. See, we got to know who you are. You got to understand who you are. So hey, leave it alone. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, amen, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. See that? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Pastor Henry, but sin is fun. No, man. No, man. Directly opposes the Lord that bought you and saved you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead. Folks, you have been resurrected.
Amen.
You're resurrected because you died when you gave your heart to the Lord, and now you've been resurrected. Is that cool? Come on. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. See, this is what God's looking for. He says, man, I'm just looking. Hey, you can live righteously before God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You can live without sin. Is that okay?
Yep.
I mean, I was in a church where I'm just an old sinner, and it was okay for him to say that. No, you're not just an old sinner. You have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You just don't quite understand. Is that okay? Your understanding is a little bit dark. Is that okay? Praise God. Here's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, if you be risen with Christ, how many of you raised up from the dead? How many of you are alive? If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the earth. Is that okay? Is that a good deal? For you are what? You're dead. Amen? And your life is hid with Christ. Your life is hid in the resurrection. Your life is hid in the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, you see, your life is hid in the resurrection. So folks, resurrection to us, Jesus all at once, but for us, resurrection comes in bits and pieces. Can you say amen to that? Because he's got to get those things that are contrary to him out of you, and it takes these little bits and pieces to move. If he loaded you up right off the bat, how many of you like that? God, that's a lot of pressure on me, God. I don't know if I can do that. Is that right? You are dead, and your life is hid, I'm going to say that, in the resurrection and the life of Christ. Is that cool? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. This is the part where God hung me up a little bit. When is he going to appear? Does anybody know? Over in that section, anybody know when he's going to appear? Randy's section, anybody know when he's going to appear? No. Over here, anybody know when he's going to appear? How about over here? Does anybody know when he's going to appear? Terry, you know when he's going to appear? When the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, right? Over here? Folks, let me just say this to you, yeah? What's that? When his footstool is made, his footstool is made. That's right. Physically appear. But see, God's not talking about physically appearing here. He's talking about spiritually appearing. Can you say amen to that? I mean, maybe you don't understand what I'm talking about. But he's talking about an appearance that he makes. You're asking him for something. You're saying, Lord, I need something. God, I don't know what it is, but I know that you know what I need. So I'm going to ask you, what do I need? So I'm going to look in your word, God. I'm gonna find. And all of a sudden, this word out of his book, out of the Bible, just blows. Has anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
You see, the word Christ has appeared to you. It's called revelation. Revelation after revelation, Christ begins to appear to you because what he's doing, he's strengthening your mortal body. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Your sinless body. Can you say amen? Well, just don't sound right. We've never been taught that. How many say, is that right? How many say that? This is, how many say this is a little foreign? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I got to tell you this one. There was some pastors that said, hey, we want to take you to lunch. I said, so I went to lunch with them. I was telling some of the folks this morning. I went to lunch with them. And while we were having lunch, they were telling me all about where they went to school, the seminaries they went to and everything. And folks, I hope I don't disappoint you too bad, but I didn't get all of that. The only seminary I was, it was the Duval Mine. That was my seminary. That's where I learned. That's how I learned some things, but I didn't have all that. So they spoke to me and they talked to me and they were telling me about where they went. One guy went to 3 or 4 seminaries and everything. And then by the time they finished, I had finished my food, which I was happy. I said, well, great. Thank you for the food. And then they said, well, where did you go? I said, bro, I didn't go to seminary. They both kind of looked at me, what? Yeah. I said, but I do have a vision. God gave me a vision. They go, what? And I told them about my vision, about the guy with the water and everything, the water that's flowing out of the guy and flowing into the fields and people are growing. And stuff. I told them all about that. And I said, I've got a vision and I've got a word of my calling. And the word of my calling is this 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. When he showed me the vision that he'd brought me into, he told me, verse 2, but don't put it up yet. It says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I don't know how to do that. I got no idea. It scared me. Can you say amen? But here it says right here, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. And when I read it, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing you, physically seeing you. And he told me, he says, Henry, you have a bad habit. He had to remove a filter from. Does anybody ever have filters in you? Do you ever have a filter in your life that you're looking at through? You're looking through. Everything goes through this filter. And so like this filter I had was I was thinking that it was far away. It was in a distant place that's coming, but it's not there yet. This filter that I had, he said, I'm going to remove it for you. He told me, he says, look, when I say at my appearing, it means when I reveal my word to you. Can you understand that? I go, oh, I get it. See, because the word is Jesus. Is that right? He's appearing to you. This is why, folks, we got to stay in the word of God. This is why you have to dig in God's word, because he reveals his word to you. And he appears in his word. Can you say amen? You'll see him in his word. Is that okay? How many have had those scriptures where you read it and you just start weeping? You don't even know why. That's because he's showing you something. He's revealing himself to you. It's pretty cool. He appears by revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. What time is it? Oh, we got hours yet. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul talking. And he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, look at that, the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. See, God wants to reveal things to you. Paul's praying for us. How many of you received Paul's prayer? I'll take it. I said, yeah, thank you, Paul, for praying for me. that I might receive revelation. God has been giving me revelation. God's been giving a lot of you, most of you, revelation. Just getting to know Jesus, just knowing that Jesus died for your sins is a revelation. Can you say amen to that? That's probably the first thing that came. He washed your sins away. Revelation, is that right? Hallelujah. Woo, God. I love this stuff, man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, as is written, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. How many say amen?
Amen.
Do you know everything God's got for you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's got a lot of things that he's prepared for you, the things which God has prepared for them, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Here we go, revelation. For the Spirit searches all things, the very deep things of God. Can you say amen? What is it, God, that you have for me? This is why we teach that you got to be independently dependent upon God here. That you go after God and let God show you, let him teach you, and let him take you, okay? This stuff, whether you believe it or not, what I'm getting ready to show and share with you, whether you believe it or not, it has nothing upon me. All it has upon me is that I'm doing what God had told me to do. Plant the heavens, plant the earth, seed the earth. And this is what I'm doing. Hallelujah. So, yeah, and it's okay. It's all right. You can, hey, that guy's crazy. John 6, verse 63 says this. It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. And he says, the words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So life comes through the words, the word of God, Jesus being the word became flesh. Can you say amen? So here we go. Revelation always displaces. Can you say that? Can you hear what, you know what I mean? Revelation will always displace something in your life. When God reveals something to you, it's because he's taking something out of you. Is that okay? Yeah, have you heard that scripture that just came to me? It's about where Jesus says that the man he accepts God, and then the demon that's within him takes off. But then when he tries to come back, and he finds the whole house clean and empty. Is that right? Yeah. Clean and empty because God chased it out. But the man put nothing back, didn't allow anything to come into him. So the demon goes back in, and the Bible says he becomes worse, three times worse than what was before. You guys read that scripture. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. When I gave my heart to the Lord, the day that I gave my heart to that I got saved, I was hungover real bad. And my boss told me to get out of the way. You can't run in. I was a crane operator at the time. He said, you can't run cranes. Don't even drive a pickup. He said, just go find a place to hide. When I gave my heart to the Lord, he put a word in my heart. And that word was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I went out of that place where I'd given my heart to the Lord. And as I walked, I said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I felt like I was taking a shower in warm butter or warm honey or whatever. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it just kept rolling over. And I said, wow, this is cool. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw it was lunchtime. I went down to talk to it and went down to go get some lunch. And my foreman looked at me and says, man, you recover quick. He says, you feel okay? I said, man, I feel great. You don't know how great I feel. I just got saved, man. I didn't tell him all that. But he says, okay. So he said, yeah, after lunch, I'll put you to work. Every day after work, I would stop by this Circle K right here, this one, where Steve works. And I would buy me 2 6-packs of beer every day. I'd make sure I drank them before the next day because I didn't want them to get hot. Yeah, it's not that I didn't know how to ice them down. It's just that, man, I was an alcoholic. For the first time since I have moved here, I went from work to home. I went and told Rosie, hey, something happened to me. She had gotten mad at me before because I was drunk. She goes, don't talk to me. Oh, yeah, you're mad. I forgot that. I was so excited about getting saved and about what happened to me. This thing kept washing over me and washing over me. I didn't realize exactly what it was until years later. I became a youth pastor, and my pastor asked me, he goes, "Hey, Henry," he goes, what are you teaching the kids this Sunday?" I said, "I don't know. The Lord hasn't given me anything, man." He goes, "Well, I got a little ahead of myself, but anyway, usually I would fast and pray and then get something from the Lord, and then I'd go in on Sunday morning and teach the kids. For whatever reason, God wasn't giving me anything. I hadn't gotten anything. But on Saturday prayer meeting, I was at prayer meeting, and I'm saying, "Lord, are you going to talk to me or not? I need something for the kids tomorrow." Well, he told me to come, go get an empty bottle of beer. Isn't that weird? That was the Lord. "Go get an empty bottle of beer." I said, "Yeah, you might have to give me that in scripture. I don't know where that's at, God. I can't find that. But he said, "Go and get an empty bottle of beer." You know, I got it out of this bar right here. I came in. The girl that was behind the bar, she knew me. She goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Hey, I just need an empty bottle of beer. I'm not here." She goes, "Okay, what?" So she brought me an empty bottle. It was a light beer. You know, does anybody know what light beer is? I'm glad nobody does. Yeah, it was a light beer. And I said, "You know, do you have any Budweiser long necks? Because that's what I like. That was my beer." But, and she goes, "Well, I think so." And she looked around. She goes, "I don't think so. There's boxes outside the door there that they'll pick them up. You can look in there. I'm sure there's some there." So I'm out there looking through the boxes, digging around in those boxes, man, looking for an empty light beer, a Budweiser long neck. And two guys were walking in the bar. They said, "Bro, we'll buy you a beer, man. Come on." "It's okay, man. God sent me here." No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I found the long neck, took it home, washed it, and when I got home, bro, I was like, "What are you doing with that?" I don't know, man. God told me to get me an empty bottle. Well, pastor called me up the next morning. He goes, "Henry, what are you preaching to the kids?" I said, "Hey, I don't know. God's got me doing something. I don't know what it is, but I think it's just give my testimony." He says, "Great, do that in main service today, because I'm not feeling well. I need you to give, you know, to take over the service." All right. So I took it in a brown paper bag, you know that, yeah. And I had it in the thing. And then when I got to the point, I was talking about how God replaces. He takes something out of your heart, but he puts a revelation in its place. And that revelation will hold you forever.
Yeah.
It will not come out. And I said, "Hey, bro," I was telling him, "Hey, man, when I gave my heart to the Lord, what God gave me for a scripture was King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And I pulled out that bottle of beer. And right on the bottle, it says, "King of Beers." Is that right? Doesn't it say King of Beers on it? Some of you are going, I don't know. Trying to, yeah. Does it say King of Beers on it, brother? It said King of Beers on it. And when I said, "Jesus is the King of Kings." And I took that bottle of beer and I laid it on its side. And two guys that were having trouble with alcohol, they right away, man. They wanted to get saved. They wanted to get released. Is that okay? Isn't that cool? It's by revelation. Revelation always displaces. Light takes over darkness. Can you say amen? You can do it in your own house. Got your dark room, turn on the light. Light always takes over darkness. Life, and this is where life removes death. Do you know that? You need to know that. Because we worry sometimes all our lives if something's going to get us, and something's going to get us. Am I going to get a car wreck? Am I going to do whatever? Is my grandkids going to get hurt in an accident or something? Life removes death. Removes. Removes death. Can you say amen to that? Folks, that's a lot of folks, man. Hey, so Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. This is what. Verse 10 and 11. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Can you say amen? That we went over that. But the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. See, God looks at you as righteous. Is that okay? But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. That quickening is called resurrection. It is placing His word on your heart, causing you to stand stronger and stronger. This is why James says, count it all joy when things go wrong. Is that okay? Do a dance. Get up and dance a jig. Whatever. When things are going wrong, we have a bad habit of complaining and doing things that maybe we shouldn't be doing. God says, count it all joy, because these things, God is strengthening you and building you if you'll allow Him to. Is that okay? You got to trust Him in these things. Is that okay? Praise God. Every revelation you receive is changing you. Do you know that? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57. Here we go. Getting ready to close. Are you guys okay? Everybody awake? Yeah, a couple. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. How many like mysteries? We shall not all sleep. Can you say amen? Amen. But we shall all be changed. See that word? We'll all be changed. Is that all right? Now he goes to describe some moments of change or some avenues of change. In a moment, He'll change you. You might be walking down the road and all of a sudden a scripture comes to you and God shows you something that's in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, He changes you. He gives you a revelation. He shows you things. And then it says at the last trump, for some reason, we have placed all these scriptures together that this is the whole package at the last trump, when the trumpet of God comes and we be pulled off the earth and be forever with the Lord in the air. These are separate events. These are events that's cleansing you, washing you, and cleaning you. You're gonna be changed in a moment. And then in another time, you're gonna be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Then maybe in another moment, and then maybe another twinkling. Whatever, but it's happening to you because God is working with you. Can you say amen? These are not scriptures describing just that day when He pulls us off the earth. Can you say amen? Yeah. Nobody. Okay, that's okay. It's cool. And then He says, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, right? First, incorruptible. Is that what it says? It says incorruptible. Does it say incorruptible? Incorruptible. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Right? We shall be changed. Is that right? Now listen, it says this. For this corruption must put on incorruption. Is that okay? You good with that? Does everybody good with that? Yep. Just want to make sure. Shake your head. No, yeah, yeah. This corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Is that what it says? Yep. Is that what the Word of God says? For whatever reason, we think it's just in that moment, and just in that instant, and it's not. This is a growth that God is bringing you into. Death, it says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is what? The law. Is that right? Remember, Romans 8 says this. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Which one do you want to live in? Law of sin and death or the law of life in Christ Jesus? It's no brainer to us. He says, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Is that what it says? Okay, now it says that the dead, that we must put on incorruption. How many, look at your, I'm going to just say this. Look at your neighbor and tell him you are incorrupt. You are immortal. Tell them that. Touch their skin. Touch their hand. Tell them, you are immortal. 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 Not immoral. Who said that? Yeah. You are immortal. Immortal. Folks, you got to listen to this. Listen to this. This is the point. I did all that just to bring it to this one scripture verse that it talks about, because, man, when I read this verse, I said, God, okay, it says right here, I'm going to die, God. So what's your story, God? You know, and God said, oh, no, look at it real good. So I'm going to take you to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Check this out. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. How many know that? How were you redeemed? It says right there. It says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can I tell you that blood is uncorruptible and it's immortal? Can I tell you that? That blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, you were... Okay, I'm lost in my scripture here, man. Maybe... Can you go back just for a second, Liz? I'm sorry. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily or truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, Ron, for you, Rick, for you. For he was manifest in these last times for all of us. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls. What? How many, look at what the word of God, seeing that you have purified your souls. How many know that's a work? Is that right? That's a work of the Holy Ghost. If you leave it to him and let him take you there, he will purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit under unfeigned love of the brethren. Isn't that a good scripture?
Yeah.
Somebody's saying, I don't know if I get it. But anyway, it says, see ye that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, right? Being born again. How many are born again in here? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. See, here's a point I want to tell you. It says, you see, God has already been placing incorruptible seed within you. It doesn't happen just when the dead are called up and then we which are alive and remain take off. God has already been placing incorruptible seed within you. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, by Christ, which lives and abides forever. And then he says this, all flesh is as grass. How many of you ever heard this scripture? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. This is one of those conjunctions that are so important. How many of you guys remember conjunction, junction? What's your function? Function. You see, it's connecting something that is different to the statement that's before it. It says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that's been preached unto you. Do you understand what God is saying with this? This word that you're hearing, the word of God, all the word that you've looked at, all the word that you brought in, all the word that God's been revealing to you, it's incorruptible and it lives forever. And the word of God told us that the Holy Spirit, if he that dwells in you, the Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, he'll also quicken your mortal bodies. In other words, bring that mortal into immortality by his word, because his word endures forever. Do you see that? Some folks can't see it. Some folks say, hey, well, I'm still going to die. Hey, let me just say this to you. Even if you don't believe me, it's not, well, you're not going to lose your salvation because you don't believe this. Can you say amen to that? God's going to take you home. I don't want to say how he's going to take you home, maybe, but I will tell you, if we can resist death with all that's within us by the word of God, saying, now this is what God's word says, I will live and not die. Do you know that God's word says that?
Yep.
Do you know that? He says, I am the God that healeth. Do you know that? What's the healing for? So you can live, is that right? Come on. And live what? More abundantly. He said, I'm going to put life in you and life more abundantly. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, life is separate from death. They can't put two together. And yet we all our lives, we have put them together. Can you say amen? Isaiah 28, if you get a chance to look at it. He says, I am going to disannul death that you've been talking to. For some reason, our mind goes to, am I going to die from this? Is that right? Stub your toe and you think you're going to die. Is that right? Folks, God is saying, look, I am bringing a kingdom. The mindset says death has no power over this. Can you say amen to that? This is a mighty kingdom. He's going to bring that. Can I just say this? Could it be that God is waiting for us? Steve, what do you think? Could it be God's waiting for us to believe him and the things that he said? Could it be that he told us to believe that the kingdom is coming? And to believe that he has placed a mind, Christ's mind within you. Oh, it's a lot bigger than what we think, what we can even imagine. God is doing something today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's doing it today. And I want to know what he's doing. Lord, show me what you're going to do tomorrow. Lord, show me what you're going to do tomorrow. Because I am excited about this kingdom that God is bringing into the earth. And we are those people. We are them immortals, them people that walk the earth and say, hey, man. God gave it to Adam. So if God gave it to Adam, the earth, he gave it to me. And if God gave it to me, then it's mine. I got no business trying to get up into heaven. This belongs to me. Lord, keep me here. Help me to do those things that you want me to do. I will follow you. Can you say amen? There's some pastors and teachers in this house, whether you believe it or not. God has more for you than what you can even imagine. You just got to allow him to take you there. Can you say amen to that? Would you stand? Would you stand? Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to leave impossible alone for a while. Are you guys okay with that? You guys, come on, man. All right, we're going to leave it alone for a while. I'm going to let you guys take it home and let you guys take a look at it. I would say make sure you take a look at it because this is something that God is not. I mean, hey, I wouldn't be up here stretching out my neck for you for no reason. I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. And that plan is that you understand that God is telling you, look, you do not have to die. You do not have to walk down that road. Believe me. Watch and I'll show you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Father, I just thank you for your children. I thank you for the men and women of God, Father. God, I ask you that you would empower them. Father, that you would empower them by your Spirit, Lord. Show them the things that you have got especially for them, Father. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father. I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hey, man, shake somebody's hand and tell them you love them. And
thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.